This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, EB, and JP. Cakes in Vegas. He has survived 2 days at the World Series of Poker. He is set to call us right around 9:45, so we'll get an update from Cakes in Vegas. But join us right now to talk about the Nationals' moves, firing both Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo. It's Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post, National Major League Baseball writer. Hey, Chelsea.
Hey, how are you guys? Doing
so great. How expected was it, from your point of view, that they would dismiss both Davey and Rizzo?
I'll be honest, I was blown away. I was not blown away because I thought, you know, Rizzo and Davey should keep their jobs forever. I was blown away because it was so decisive. It's just not the kind of thing we've seen the Learners do ever. So to kind of have that come down the way it did and, you know, require them to presumably put in the effort of finding new people for those roles and paying them, it's stunning to me. So, yeah, I was blown away.
Well, is there any indication that it was a deal where they kind of insisted that that Mike fired Davey and he's like, no, I'm not going to do it? So then they do both. Any indication that that was the case?
No indication of that yet. You know, I think the Rizzo part of the move is still a little bit of a mystery. I think we'll kind of slowly figure it out, you know, what the decision making was there. Obviously it's very hard to know what the Learners are thinking at any time. So, you know, still kind of trying to get there. You know, I think there's a logic to it just in the fact that if they had decided that Rizzo was not going to be the guy next year, they didn't want to pick up the option. I think it is justifiable to decide to let somebody else make a huge pick like they have next week. So, you know, that also could have played into it.
Yeah, and it did become apparent, at least to me anyway, I think probably to a lot of people, that they kind of did become tied to the hip, right? Davey and Mike. And Mike had pointed out here that he had hired managers and fired managers, fired guys that he really liked. But there just did become a point there where Davey and Mike kind of seemed their fates were kind of be sealed together with these, you know, these sort of every other year contract, you know. I thought it was kind of embarrassing, these little, you know, Mike Rizzo has to go in every other year and beg for a contract. But that's kind of the way they ran the operation. And it did seem like they were kind of tied together.
I think so. I think if only because it never seemed, at least in the last few years, that firing one would change the direction of the organization. You know, I think there was definitely a justification to let Davey go just with the way they've been playing this year. I think they've looked sloppy. You know, I think there's not been a lot of urgency evident there. And, you know, that may or may not be related to Davey, you know, but I do think maybe a new voice for some of these young guys who've never had one made a lot of sense. But, you know, on the Rizzo front, it just seemed like a new voice in the clubhouse wasn't going to fix what they really needed, which is probably kind of a recalibration of the entire organization. So, you know, I think in that way, they kind of were tied at the hip because it was pretty hard to justify, you know, at least for me, at least for us sitting out here, you know, in our logical way of thinking, it seemed hard to justify doing just one and saying, oh, that'll fix it. But the thing that always made it seem possible is that the learners have not operated with the logic that we would expect at times. So I think that's why this is so surprising, is because it kind of makes sense in a way.
Right.
Chelsea,
kind of does.
You just used the term the learners. And when we talk about ownership, that's the term we always throw out, the learners. Now, Mark Lerner is the chairman or whatever his title is. But fill me in a little bit more, because I don't have a great picture of, like, who's in the office? Are they running day-to-day operations? It seems quite nebulous.
It is. And, you know, we've been kind of trying to nail that down a little bit, too. You know, my colleagues, Darius Faluga, who you obviously know, and Andrew Golden and Spencer Nussbaum, we've been kind of talking to people about this. And what it seems like, you know, it's kind of what we knew, right? You know, Mark Lerner is nominally the chairperson of this. Alan Gottlieb is another in-law of the family, and he kind of does the people interactions in the room, you know, when it comes to, for instance, telling, you know, Riz and Davey that they were gone. Ed Cohen is another longtime member of this group. He's been around forever. He attends the owners' meetings for them right now. He's kind of the guy that says yes or no on, you know, the big decisions, you know, and then there's, you know, kind of a few others that are around the periphery, and they all have to agree, and often they don't. And that's why you see this stasis that the Nats have been in. So for that group to kind of come to this conclusion, I think probably took a long time. But exactly who looked at this and said, we've got to make a change, is still not clear, but I will say it wouldn't have happened if they hadn't all agreed. And that is something we haven't seen them do, you know, even on things as simple as the jersey patch until lately. So clearly there was some, you know, I don't know if it was embarrassment over kind of the press they've been getting or what it is, but there was clearly some consensus in the room that something needed to change, which, you know, at least means they've been paying attention.
Chelsea, what about the timing of this? Because they wouldn't make a move after an 11-game losing streak, and that's an embarrassing thing. I mean, to lose 11 games, almost get swept by the Rockies at home.
Yeah.
So the timing is interesting to me because they didn't fire these guys during that streak. Then they go out west, and then they come home and play the Tigers. All right, so they played some really good teams. They went 7-6 in those 13 games. Yeah. They won the last two series. They won the series against the Tigers. The Tigers are going to have the best record in the American League, probably. They currently do. So what if they would have won 2 out of 3 against Boston? Would they have made a move, or did they already have it in their mind, you think, that they were going to make this change?
I'm reluctant to assign much long-term strategy to this ownership group. I'd be surprised if they were in the losing streak and said, hey, let's target July and, you know, right before July instead. You know, I think they just decide when they decide. I might be proven wrong. We don't know. That's just me speculating. One of the things that stands out to me about this timing is A, the proximity to the deadline to pick up the option. You know, the deadline was, you know, mid-July. And so, you know, I think that probably forced their hand in a way that the losing streak didn't. I also think, and no one has told me this, you know, the Nats aren't going to be home again until after the All-Star break. So there's a 2-week period now where there's no one in that room that's going to have to answer to local media in any way for 2 weeks. Like, I think that is helpful to them. I think that's appealing. You know, the Nats go on the road and then they're off and, you know, the dust will have settled by then. So that might be part of it. You know, the thing I kind of wish they had thought through a little bit differently and maybe even just pushed this back till today was, you know, Mackenzie Gore and James Wood are first-time All-Stars, and the story of their day was their manager and general manager getting fired. So, you know, from that perspective, it was a little jarring. But
yeah, right.
But yeah, I don't think there was like a long-term plan. I think probably the deadline just forced their hand.
Is a sell-off likely coming at the trade deadline?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, what I know of Mike DiBartolo, who's going to be the interim GM, you know, I think he's very logical. I think he'll do what the numbers say. I think it'll be fascinating. You know, I say that, like, I'm sure a sell-off isn't necessarily what everyone wanted to see, but I think there's reason to believe that, A, you know, it's the right move, first of all, and B, that it'll be done well. You know, he's obviously never had to kind of orchestrate trades or anything, but it's a different voice. It's a guy who's sort of been waiting for his chance, and I think he will do the things that make the most sense. You know, whether he'll be able to execute the kind of trades that Riz did, you know, I don't know that anyone does, but I think they'll do a sell-off, and I think that'll probably be the right move at this point.
How attractive is this job? You know, normally you'd say, oh, Nation's Capital, won a World Series in 2019. But, you know, if you don't have a firm commitment from ownership over the last 4 or 5 years to sort of even be paying attention, as you kind of say, you know, who can they reasonably expect to attract that's of a high quality?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of telling that the one thing we have from Riz so far is, you know, I navigated that ownership group for 20 years.
What a
you know?
Quote. Yeah. What a quote.
Yeah, you knew it was coming. He's kept his mouth shut for a really long time, to his credit. But, you know, I was thinking about that and just kind of putting out feelers. I think we sometimes underestimate the, you know, the importance of like 30 jobs. You know, it's one of 30.
Sure.
So I think it's attractive. I think you're going to have people be interested. Whether that interest continues when they talk to the family about, you know, the direction of the team, I don't know. Whether the family will be looking externally at all, I don't know. You know, I think there's comfort with Mike DiBartolo, and I think often, you know, he's not going to make as much as some of the names that would be available. So I obviously think that will matter. But, yeah, I think it's an attractive job. I think people know how they operate now. You know, they know what to expect. They know, you know, the guy that won them a World Series was still living year to year contract wise. So I wouldn't expect someone to come in and experience anything differently. But I think the job will be attractive, but I think everyone will come in, you know, eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that whenever they name the interim manager, it's going to be someone from the minors?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
I don't know. I was kind of guessing Miguel Cairo, the bench coach, just for now. Uh-huh. But no one's told me that either. It just makes a lot of sense. I don't know. But that'll be interesting, too. I mean, the thing that I'm most interested in is, like, will interims just become default figures moving forward because it's easier? So
right.
I do think it really matters who they pick because the path of least resistance is always so appealing to them. But yeah, I think it could be Cairo. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think he's, you know, sort of a perfectly experienced interim voice, but not necessarily a change, you know. So that's that's that.
You make a good point, though, about the fact that Wood, who's having an unbelievable year, and Mac getting into the All-Star game as reserves, and this completely overshadows it. I mean, these are the two young stars, two of the three young stars of this team.
I mean, do you think those guys care, though?
Probably not.
Wood probably doesn't care.
I'm sure. You're right. Yeah. You're right. That's why the timing is just, it's confusing to me. That's all.
I think they notice, you know, I think people will notice because it's not hard to kind of wait a day. But no, I mean, like, I think Gore, for example, who I'm sure you guys are pretty familiar with, like the competitiveness there is probably just kind of probably eager to have things go in a different direction. So ultimately, no, but it's just one of those feel things that right. stands out, you know.
Right.
When Davey made those comments and then we had heard, the front office side that it wasn't really a big deal in the clubhouse, that the players understood where he was coming from and he's always been a player's guy and the player, you know, player didn't hold that against him. Was that true or was that not true? Was that spin?
I think players noticed. I know players noticed. I don't think it meaningfully changed the relationship between them and Davey because I don't think I don't think it was a weak relationship. I think everyone really liked Davey. You guys know him. He's, you know, as friendly and caring as they come. I just don't think he was inspiring them at this point. You know, I don't think there was, I don't think they were kind of rallying around him in any way. And I don't think you always have to rally around the manager, right? But I think with a young team, that's probably what they need right now. So I don't think it like made anyone say, you know, screw this guy, I'm not going to try anymore. But I definitely think, it was a sign of sort of, I don't know, it just, you know, the fact that it wasn't as strong a relationship as you probably want between a really young clubhouse needing leadership and the guy, you know, at the forefront.
What is your guess on the impact on the draft with this? Because my understanding, the way it was kind of described to us is, you know, Mike's not out there, you know, on, you know, beating down, doing 5,000 miles a year, you know, scouting all these guys, right? He's getting the reports. He's going probably more often than not on the recommendations of his guys. Those are still his guys going to make the picks, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious because I don't know if they know what the impact will be. You know, I think Mike DiBartolo is obviously in charge now. I would expect from what I know of him, for him to listen to the people that have been doing all those miles and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do think that in the case of this particular pick, it was going to have to be a Riz pick. You know, I don't think he was going to let somebody talk him into anything. And what we know of Riz picks is, you know, he probably wanted a pitcher. He probably wanted a college pitcher and he probably wanted someone that could get to the majors quickly. That was sort of how I was thinking about it because that's his track record and that's kind of where they are as an organization. I don't know that putting someone else in charge changes that. But I do think, you know, that the guys who've been really thinking about this for months will be the guys that make the pick now. It might not change anything, but I do think it makes it a little bit more of an unknown, even though it was already, you know, somewhat up in the air.
I'm curious, what were your preseason expectations for this team?
How many wins? 70 to 73-ish?
Somewhere. Yeah, I think I, you know, we do those predictions every year, and I think I said something in that range. I thought they'd be better because they should be better because they're the same as they were last year with, you know, an MVP materializing before their eyes and Mackenzie Gore striking out a ton of people and, you know, CJ having a good year. Like, they should be better.
It's crazy how quickly it all fell apart. Like, obviously, it was an up and down uneven season before the swoon, but you know, they were 30-32, 30-33, whatever the hell it was. And I remember thinking, okay, you know, here is the promise there. And then the bottom falls out completely. Yeah. It's kind of stunning how quickly it happened in my mind.
The bats died. The bullpen's been awful all year. Chelsea, you know that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then the bats died at the wrong time over that 11-game stretch.
When they were
playing bad teams that they should have beaten.
Here's what I'll say. And I have a lot of respect for Davey and Rizzo.
Yeah.
They've treated me really well over the years.
Yeah.
But I watched the Tigers come in last week as a team that traded away people at last year's deadline and somehow made the playoffs. And the difference between the way that team is run day to day and the way the Nationals are run day to day is jarring.
What did you notice? What did you notice?
Attention to detail, number one. You know, just collective buy-in. I don't think, and I, you know, maybe it was too early to expect this, but I just don't think the clubhouse expected to win. And I don't think they held themselves to that standard. Like, I'm not saying I think they're happy when they lose. I just think that a lot of them are still really happy to be there. You know, I think Mackenzie Gore probably does not fall into that category. I think he was probably pretty frustrated. You know, I think a guy like Dylan Cruz, when he gets back, is always going to want to win. But I did not sense that this was a group. If they had taken the next step and really taken off this year, that would have been pure luck. It's not because they're pushing advantages. It's not because there's this, you know, rallying in the clubhouse around, hey, we can surprise people. It's not because they're doing something differently. It's because they took off. Whereas the Tigers, I feel like, make a lot of their own luck. They're very detailed on the bases. They are, you know, talking every day about what went wrong on this play, what went wrong on this play. You know, their defensive positioning is down to the inch, basically. Like, everything is, okay, we're going to do everything we can to get every little advantage to try to win a game. And I think that's why they were able to take off the way they were and develop the way they were at the big league level. And it just wasn't there with the Nats. It just seemed very, I don't know, I don't want to say hands-off because I think the coaching staff really cares, but they did not create change. And I think that's, you know, what you're seeing.
So that was your vibe. And then the Nats scored 20 runs in two games, in the last two games of the series against them.
Right. And the inconsistency is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, right? Like, it's there.
Right.
But I don't think the Nats have done anything to make sure it's consistent. I don't think they game plan. If they, you know, I think they game plan, but it doesn't, it's not sticking with some of these guys. Like, I just think there has to be a more, a greater sense of urgency. Like, we have to win. And if we're not going to win, you're going to sit, you know? So I think that's kind of the thing I did not feel that is noticeable in other places.
Great stuff, Chelsea. It's Chelsea James from the Washington Post. Thanks.
Thank you, Chelsea. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Coming up a little later, we'll talk to her colleague, Barry's Verluga from the Washington Post, who was texting with Mike Rizzo yesterday. That came out in the Washington Post. So we'll talk to Barry at 9 o'clock here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.